Schwab Asset Management is proud to sponsor the Advisor Upside Podcast with ETF.com. With bond market conditions looking upbeat for 2024, Schwab stands ready with a suite of low-cost fixed income ETFs. Learn more at schwabassetmanagement.com/welcome-ETFs. Welcome to another episode of Advisor Upside, powered by ETF.com. I'm your host, Jeff Benjamin, and I'm honored to be talking today with Rick Edelman, founder of the Digital Assets Council of Financial Professionals. Rick, how you doing? Thanks for being here.
Always good to be with you, Jeff. Thanks.
Rick, I heard something the other day along the lines of technology will never move slower than it is today, and it's moving faster than it ever has before.
Sure.
And along those lines, I know I've heard you talk a little bit recently about the idea of tokenization and what that means to financial services, to individual investors, to pretty much the whole world. But I want to have you walk us through tokenization. What are we talking about exactly? And then hopefully we can get down to the level of portfolio management and investing and ETFs and all that fun stuff. But first of all, what is this thing?
First premise, Jeff, you're absolutely right about that notion. The technology is making things move faster and faster. Adoption rates are going with incredible speed. What used to take a generation now takes a decade. And what used to take a decade now takes a year. It took 30 years for 50 million U.S. homes to have a radio. Pokemon, when it went on the internet, had 100 million users in about 3 months. So we are moving with incredible speed, unprecedented in human history. And it's all due to technological innovation, the advent of computer technology, making things faster, smaller, cheaper. And that trend is never going to go backward. So it's really a very exciting time, but it's a very disruptive time too, because most of us have been in this business for decades and we're not used to moving at such a rapid pace. Mm-hmm. Tokenization is merely the latest example of what is coming, and it's going to shock advisors at how fast it's arriving. We're going from people not really knowing what it is, or in many cases never even having heard about it, to all the way people using it and building portfolios with it in an incredibly rapid period. I'll give you the punchline to the end of this story. By the end of the decade, you will be engaged with tokenization with your clients. So that's just, you know, 5 short years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So what is tokenization? Well, a token is simply a representation. We've heard the expression of tokens all the time. We use subway tokens, right? You provide a token that gives you permission to ride on the subway. A rose is a token of my affection. So a token is merely a representation of something else. In the world of the internet and technological digitization, a digital token represents a real world asset. Keep that phrase in mind, RWA, real world asset. So just think about all the assets that exist in the real world today. We're going to tokenize them and convert them into a digital asset that you will obtain, store, and transfer via the digital wallet on your smartphone. Let me give you an example of this. Your driver's license and your passport. Why are we carrying these pieces of paper with us when we travel? Your medical records, your employment records, your education, academic records, the deed to your house, the title to your car. All of this is data. All of this is information that demonstrates ownership of something. Now, if we want to prove to somebody we own the house, we waive our deed in front of them. We have a brokerage account that holds the shares of stocks, and we use these statements as a demonstration to those who care that we own these assets. Well, in the future, we're going to take all of those real-world assets. We're going to take the title to our house and the deed to our the title to our car, deed to our house. We're going to take our employment records, et cetera, and we're going to create a digital version of them. You do that now when you take a photograph of something. You're creating a digital image that you store on your phone. You're going to do the same thing with other assets as well. And here's the cool thing. By digitizing these assets, they become tradable very easily. So in the current sense, we are doing this with the stock market, right? We take a big company, we split its value. You know, IBM's worth what, $100 billion these days? I'm making that up. We split it into 10 million slices, right? And we come up with $100 a slice or share. And that's how we create liquidity for a highly illiquid asset. And it's how we allow people to transfer their ownership of that asset. And this is why IBM shares trade to such a high degree on a daily basis. Well, why don't we do the same thing with the deed to your house? Why don't we digitize that house, turn the deed into a share or a token? Now we can take your $1 million house and we can slice it into a million pieces of $1 each, $1 per share, or online we call them tokens, $1 per token. And now you as homeowner, you can sell those tokens as often as you want to whomever you want, generating income out of that house. And now you can take an illiquid asset, your house, turn it into a liquid asset that trades online. We can do this with real estate of any type. And we're already doing this. The St. Regis Hotel in Aspen, Colorado was tokenized. They cost about $10 per token. And as an owner of the property, if you walk up to register and you tell them that you own one of these tokens called the Aspen shares, they give you a room upgrade.
All
So
right.
lots of different things can be tokenized. We're tokenizing real estate in Dubai. We're tokenizing exotic cars and rare wines. We're tokenizing artwork. The most famous are known as NFTs, non-fungible tokens. And so what we're going to discover over the next several years is that the world of ETFs and the shares that they offer are going to re be replaced by tokens. Just as ETFs were a big leap forward compared to mutual funds, they became cheaper, they became more tax efficient, they became more liquid. Tokenized shares will be even a bigger improvement on ETF shares. And in the future, you'll be buying tokenized assets for your client.
A lot to unpack there. Big picture perspective, a little bit scary. Sounds like everything and everybody can be tokenized and essentially traded and sold, right?
We're already doing it. Franklin Templeton came out with the world's first tokenized mutual fund last year. It was a tokenized money market fund called Benji. You don't even buy it with a brokerage account. You go onto your phone into the app store, you download the Benji app, and you get shares, tokens of Benji, which is a money market fund that trades on chain. This is a tokenized blockchain-based money market fund that pays interest. BlackRock made big news last month when they launched Biddle, BUIDL, and a tokenized treasury fund that has already now got Franklin's got $350 million in it. BlackRock's is pushing $200 million already, and we're already doing this on a regular basis.
Getting back to the pace of things moving these days in technology and basically everywhere, are these examples you just gave of Franklin Templeton and BlackRock a kind of a toe in the water, or by the end of the year, are we going to see more? And essentially, what I'm getting to is, what does this do to the financial services industry as we know it? I mean, beyond just ETFs, and this
Right.
sounds like a replacement for ETFs, first of all,
It is a
or
replacement for ETFs, and there is a lot of work being done by the mutual fund and ETF industry, the asset management industry broadly, to move toward tokenization because it is cheaper to operate. They operate faster, they settle instantaneously, and they do this 24/7. So this is a big improvement. Just as ETFs were a big improvement over mutual funds with intraday trading and lower cost and lower taxes, these tokenization models are yet better again compared to ETFs. So we are the toe in the water is there, and we are going to see more and more of this in rapid order. So you could argue that ETFs are really just an iterative step over mutual funds. I mean, most of us made the transition from mutual funds in the 80s and 90s into ETFs in the 2000s and 20 teens. And it was iterative. It wasn't all that big a radical step for most clients or most advisors. There were improvements for sure, but they were still very similar. When we move to tokenization, it'll be another similar iterative step where it won't appear to be that big a deal. But I'll tell you, Jeff, where it is going to be revolutionary. It's going to be in the variety of asset classes that you will have available to yourself. In other words, at the moment, when we shifted from mutual funds to ETFs, we're still dealing in stocks and bonds. But when we go to tokenization on blockchain platforms, now we're going to be able to create tokenization of every asset class. Right now, financial advisors don't routinely recommend to their clients real estate because there isn't a lot of real estate available in an affordable, tradable, liquid way. Wouldn't it be cool to own shares of the Empire State Building or what was the Sears Tower or GM building? Now you'll be able to do that with tokenization, like the St. Regis in Aspen. Or wouldn't it be cool to own a piece of a $4 million Ferrari? There are companies already making that available. Or how about tokenizing your own house, as I talked about, to create liquidity for a retiree whose most of their net worth is tied up in their home? Or how about your favorite rock star, your favorite recording artist? Wouldn't you like to own a piece of their music catalog so that every time their songs are played on Spotify, you earn a cut of the royalty? Or your favorite professional athlete, your favorite quarterback, you own a piece of their contract, so as their contract, as their career grows and they get better and better and they get a big new contract, you earn a piece of the deal so that you're not just a fan, you're now an owner of that athlete. We're going to be tokenizing every kind of asset you can envision, which means right now, as a financial advisor, you give a client a diversified portfolio of 15 or 20 asset classes. In 5 to 10 years, you're going to have 15,000 asset classes. True portfolio personalization will be created on an unprecedented scale. It's going to be incredibly exciting, highly disruptive, and for some, as you pointed out, a little bit scary.
Okay, that sounds like a pretty diversified portfolio, 15,000, but we'll get to that in the future, I guess. Right now, I want to know what this means to the financial services industry. How are financial advisors going to capitalize on this? What happens to the brokerage platforms? What happens to all those asset management firms if we don't need them to package these stocks and bonds into portfolios for us?
Oh, it'll be just the opposite. It'll be incredible growth for everybody everywhere in the financial services industry. You ought to be extraordinarily bullish on our field. For one thing, we're going to be reversing a trend that has been going on for the past decade that, frankly, is a current existential threat for the vast majority of financial advisors and asset managers. The threat that we've been undergoing is passive investing. I mean, back when I got started in the 1980s, there was huge differentiation from one financial advisor to another. No two advisors gave clients portfolios that were similar because it was all about active management and picking individual stocks. Nowadays, fast forward, it's not only ETF and mutual fund based. We're building portfolios, not picking securities. We're doing this with passive portfolios. Everybody owns the S&P 500. And the only difference is, do you have 60% or only 55%? So it's getting harder and harder, and we're all experiencing this, to justify the fee you earn, the asset management fee you charge clients, to give them a portfolio that, quite frankly, anybody can get on the internet for free or from outfits like Vanguard at astonishingly low costs. So how are we going to continue justifying our AUM fee and in a world like this? Well, customization is how you do this. And all of a sudden, if there are now thousands of different asset classes, and they're all going to be created by the asset management firms, like Franklin Templeton and BlackRock are already beginning to do, now we're going to need those asset management firms to provide us the differentiated tokenized assets. You know, BlackRock already has, what is it, 1,200 ETFs on a global basis. With $4 trillion in them. Well, now imagine that they're going to have not 1,200 ETFs, but 200,000 tokenized funds of every kind of asset you can envision. And they will be managed in a variety of different ways, long and short, active and passive, inverse and 2x. And all of a sudden, your opportunity for customization of the portfolio will be unprecedented. Your client will need you more than ever. One, to identify which of these asset classes they ought to own. And number two, in what combination with other asset classes. So we're going to return to the heyday of the 80s when advisors were incredibly important because consumers were overwhelmed with the decisions, overwhelmed with the choices, out of their league when it came to portfolio modeling, record keeping and tax reporting, tax loss harvesting, rebalancing. This is going to be a brand new bull market, an entire renaissance for the asset management and financial advisory industries over the next 10 years.
What happens to the brokerage platforms as we know them today? If everything is tokenized and I want to buy a piece of my neighbor's house and I just deal with my neighbor?
Though it's going to be one of two ways. One is you're going to have peer-to-peer. This is where DeFi will come into big play. Platforms such as Uniswap, which is already doing more business, more trading volume than the New York Stock Exchange. And whereas NYSE has 3,000 employees and been around for 150 years, Uniswap has been around for 7 years and has less than 100 employees. And yet they're doing more business than the NYSE. They are a DeFi, decentralized finance platform that operates peer-to-peer. So the buyer and the seller work together to decide on the asset they want to trade. The settlement is instantaneous with virtually no expenses associated with it, no friction. That's one way that this is all going to happen, and they are all an existential threat to today's brokerage industry. But the other way that it's going to happen is the CeFi platform, the centralized platform, and they are look at Coinbase. Coinbase, even though they are a digital asset exchange, they're a centralized exchange, very similar to Merrill Lynch, Vanguard, and Robinhood. And people turn to Coinbase so that they can access these different assets, digital assets, on that platform in a single location where they now get a statement on a daily or monthly basis to allow them to track what's happening. And Coinbase has become the world's largest CeFi exchange for the crypto industry. So you've got the Uniswaps of the world. There are others like MetaMask. And then you're going to have those are DeFi. You're also going to have the CeFi platforms. Both of them will survive. They will target different audiences, just like the robo-advisors and the automated platforms targeted a different audience than the full-service brokerage firms did, and the passive investing platforms versus the active investing platforms. There's going to be plenty of room for everybody everywhere.
All right. It sounds like it's bad news for the traditional brokerage industry, but who are the winners here? It sounds like financial advisors are going to be okay, maybe doing the same thing they're doing right now. But who else? Who's winning here? And how are these fees collected and charged? And how are you tracking all this stuff? What kind of a public ledger are we talking about?
Yeah, the winners are going to be the crypto companies, the companies that are building blockchains, that are providing tokenization services. Those are clearly going to be big winners. The asset management firms who are going to engage in those activities, or those that do, are going to be winners as well. The brokerage platforms that facilitate the opportunity for buyers and sellers to engage in their trading, they will win as well. The financial advisors who embrace all of this and are able to give their clients current advice relevant to all of that will also be winners. Who are going to be the losers? The losers are going to be those who refuse to change. Those who persist in delivering outmoded, outdated, obsolete business models are going to be discovering that they're the horse and buggy manufacturers of the 21st century. Nobody's going to want what they're selling. Nobody's going to buy their products. Nobody's going to be willing to pay those exorbitant fees. Nobody's going to be willing to tolerate the incredible delay of doing business. For example, T+2, now becoming T+1, that's still absurd. It's going to be T+0, instantaneous trade settlement, and it's going to happen 24/7 on a global basis. And those companies, those providers, unwilling or unable to do that, are going to lose to the enterprises that are delivering that. Consumers are going to go to a frictionless environment that is virtually free, 24/7 trading, with instantaneous access to information. And it is going to be the firms that are providing all of those services and the advisors who are providing the consulting and handholding and being the delegated organization so that the consumer and investor doesn't have to get their hands dirty worrying about it. They're going to be the winners. But if you're in your mid-60s saying, I've been doing this for 30 years and I don't want to change, well, do us all a favor and retire now and get the hell out of our way.
All right. I want to, just so we don't freak people out too much here, Rick, what kind of pace are we talking about? Is this, I know technology is moving fast. We've already talked about that a couple of times. Are we talking about something that's happening, what do they call it, slowly then all at once? I mean, are we going to wake up in 2 weeks and everything's digital?
It's already happening, as we've talked about. Franklin Templeton and BlackRock already have the products out there. Uniswap is doing billions of dollars of trading a year. This is already ongoing, but under the radar. That we're still waiting on some regulation. The SEC has been refusing under Gary Gensler to issue new regulations governing tokenizations, stable coins, and DeFi platforms. So we do need to have some rules of the road. We do need some technological development, and we need some buy-in. So all of that is coming. But it is going to be an under-the-radar. You didn't know it was happening, and all of a sudden, pow, it's everywhere. We all are shocked at the electric vehicle sales. And we've all seen conversation about self-driving vehicles. And it seems to be really exciting that your car is self-driving on a highway. Your car will already self-park. But at the same time, the self-driving, self-flying vehicles aren't really here just yet. So it is coming. It's going to sneak up on you if you're not paying daily attention to it the way I am. And all of a sudden, it's going to be all over everywhere. And by the end of this decade, within the next 5-6 years, it'll be routine. And ETFs probably won't exist by then.
All right. You mentioned the regulatory landscape. I wanted to ask you about that. It seems like that could be the thing kind of anchoring this tokenization from moving too fast and too far. It took, the SEC a decade to approve spot Bitcoin ETFs. How much regulatory landscape is, how much regulation is needed for this, and where is it going? And that seems to be like the biggest unknown.
Well, Franklin Templeton and BlackRock both sought and obtained SEC approval for their products. These are regulatory products. They are securities. And so it's not a concern from that perspective. We know there are sufficient rules. We know how to work within those rules to bring products to market. And the SEC has said yes, not only to those two products, but to all the spot Bitcoin ETFs, as well as futures ETFs in the crypto space. So there isn't much of a concern about the pathway. The real issue is the marketplace. Is the market yet willing or interested in buying tokenized real estate, tokenized artwork, tokenized employment contracts of Broadway stars or recording artists or professional athletes? We're going to get there. And when we do, there's going to be a flood of demand, because with the launch of these products, you're going to see assets flow. That's going to cause price increases. And then all the traditional investor attitudes will prevail. Fear, greed, and FOMO will win out, as they always do.
Last thing I want to ask you here, Rick, is how do financial advisors keep up with this? Where do they go for information on this? If you're curious, how do you start?
There aren't very many opportunities for learning about this digitization environment. That's why I created DACFP, the Digital Assets Council of Financial Professionals. We offer webinars and conferences. Our big annual conference is in June, June 2 to 4 in Austin, which is a huge event, the oldest, longest running event exclusively on crypto for financial advisors, to teach you what is going on, the current trends, the new innovations, so that you're current. We also offer the CBDA designation, certified in blockchain and digital assets. It's the oldest, largest program that teaches you online course, study your own pace, everything you need to know about this new technology. The course has had thousands of people go through it from 37 countries. We now offer it in 9 languages. So this is not a U.S. thing. It's a global thing. And you need to pay attention to this subject so that you know more than your clients do, and you're ready to give them the advice they need, the answers to their questions, so that you don't become obsolete like those buggy whip manufacturers.
Okay, and finally, Rick, I want to ask, where can people find you on social media?
I'm everywhere. I'm in LinkedIn and Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and TikTok, or now in X. We're pretty much everywhere. I'm easy to find, and you can find us at dacfp.com, dacfp.com.
Okay, on that note, we're going to let you go, Rick. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to check out our other podcast, Exchange Traded Fridays, which drops every Friday morning wherever you get your podcast. Also, make sure to visit ETF.com for all the ETF news and data, and be sure to sign up for our newsletters. Thanks a lot. Schwab Asset Management is proud to sponsor the Advisor Upside Podcast with ETF.com. With bond market conditions looking upbeat for 2024, Schwab stands ready with a suite of low-cost fixed income ETFs. Learn more at schwabassetmanagement.com/welcome-ETFs.